It's time for Batter Up, the definitive Atlanta Braves podcast with hosts Joe Patrick and Caleb Johnson, giving you exclusive insight into our Braves from Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Here's Joe and Caleb.
Welcome into Batter Up on this Tuesday, September the 14th. Caleb Johnson here with my co-host Joe Patrick. Joe, how you doing, man?
I was doing a lot better until like 5 or 10 minutes ago when we just learned about the sad passing of Norm MacDonald. So that's really sad. We will try to push through on this Batter Up podcast, but they will be fine. We got lots to talk about, lots of stuff happening in Braves world as always, but especially when there's only 20 games left in the season. You know, we're almost to the playoffs, only a few rotation turns left, so it'll be an interesting run-in.
Yeah, I think you're right that, you know, starting off something and getting some, like, bad news right before SNL legend Norm MacDonald, kind of sad. But to shift towards the Braves is that things are going well. I know we were kind of talking before we hopped on. It seems like you might feel a little bit differently about how things are going, but that game and a half lead over the Phillies in the division has jumped up to 4.5. And the Braves lost, what, 2 games since we last talked?
Yep.
And I mean, it's hard to be upset with that, although you kind of, I mean, we see the upcoming schedule and have to understand that it's no cakewalk to the end, although very winnable, very manageable games. Maybe once they get past this these next couple series.
Yeah, especially this last series against Colorado, that's the end before you go back out to the West Coast, which the Braves just came back from, it seems like. It's kind of crazy how they have these two kind of back-to-back West Coast road swings right in a row at the end of the season. But yeah, I mean, like, for me to kind of recap my feelings on the last week, or like since they came back from Colorado, is that, you know, I just feel like the results are there, and I'm definitely not complaining about the results. You're right. Like, if you can build on your lead, on your division lead, that's always a good thing, regardless of how it happens. I guess I've just been more a little bit annoyed at the way some of these games have gone. Just like as I'm watching the game, sometimes it's like, oh, you know, it's more back and forth games. The bullpen has been shakier. We're going to talk about Richard Rodriguez here a little bit later. You know, it's just there's been some more defensive errors, I feel like, than what we've seen previously. And so it's just been a little bit more stressful, I guess, to watch some of these games. They haven't kind of been blowout wins. They've been closer games, which, to be fair, are the kinds of games that you need to win. You know, those are the kinds of games that really prepare you for playoff baseball. And some of the players have talked about that. Jock Peterson talked about it after one of the games that went back and forth. I forget who it was against. I think it was against the
Nationals.
The Nationals. Yeah. But, you know, those are the kinds of games you need to be able to win when things don't always go your way, because you're going to be playing against really good teams in the playoffs. So it's good that they won those games for sure, but it's just not been the kind of joyride that we saw the Braves have in that stretch where they were winning pretty much every night pretty handily, you know, before they went on that initial West Coast road trip.
Well, I think you could probably agree with this thought that we got spoiled, I honestly think.
Definitely, yeah, 100%.
And that, I think to go from before the trade deadline, and I know it feels like that is just the that is the turning point of this Braves season, is the trade deadline. It is something that we have referenced so much and will continue to reference so much because it made such an impact to this team. But you head into the trade deadline on some woe is me, I don't even know if I want to bother, to hitting that stretch of games. And now it's, you know, it's one of those, all right, now it's not so easy. Now this team is settling in, and now we're starting to analyze managerial decisions, and we're analyzing how guys are, you know, hitting in the lineup, and we're analyzing how guys are pitching. All of these little things, and it sounds so silly to, like, say that out loud, of like, well, of course that's what you're doing. But, I mean, there was definitely a point. There were 2 points where before I wasn't that concerned. What does it matter? Because the Braves aren't winning. You know, who cares? They can throw anybody out there. It is what it is. And then to turn around and you start winning some games, it doesn't matter who they throw out there. You know, they're still winning. And so I think now to kind of reach that middle point of, all right, it's not going to be a cakewalk. It's going to be difficult. You're really going to, it doesn't matter if it is the Nationals and the Marlins. Like, you still have to go out there and try and put a lot of effort forward and try to win these games. Now it's not as fun. It's a little more stressful.
Yeah, and you know, things have changed in the way that this team is playing and winning. You know, during that stretch, it seemed like they were getting such good starting pitching every single night. Pretty much everybody 1 through 5 was giving them a chance to win these games, and you know, it just has not been quite as reliable. As of late, you know, since Ian Anderson came back, it was good to see him have a really good start against the Marlins his last time out. Finally racked up a bunch of strikeouts, racked up 9 strikeouts over 5 innings. But before that, he hadn't looked very good. And I think he had said that it was his start before that was the worst start of his career. So I think there were worries. Maybe they've been alleviated a little bit because of his last start, but there were worries with Ian Anderson coming back from his injury, his shoulders inflammation. Touki Toussaint has not been the same guy that we saw after what? The first 2 or 3 starts that he made, or three of four, once he kind of re-entered the rotation, that's one to keep an eye on. We'll talk about more about that in a little bit. So the rotation just has not quite been as kind of the steady Eddie that it was before, and I think that just, you know, that always throws a wrench into games when you get down big early. That just casts a different kind of light over the game that you're watching. Obviously, it doesn't make it as comfortable, but to be fair, the Braves have gotten. You know, they've relied on the power. When the pitching hasn't been there, they've had the bats come alive. And again, it's like this week has just been further evidence of the amazing job that Alex Anthopoulos did at the trade deadline. This week it's been mainly Eddie Rosario taking the headlines for the way that he's been able to kind of save the Braves' butts here and come through with some big hits, including some big homers. I mean, it's just crazy. All these guys have performed so incredibly well. You just have to, I feel like we say it every week, but you just have to tip your hat once again to Alex Anthopoulos. And I'll just reiterate, I feel like these kinds of moves are really his specialty. Like, and to be fair, it's not like we've seen him make a big blockbuster trade yet since he's been here. Yeah. So it's not like we can judge him really one way or another on that front. But just when you see his track record since being with the Braves of finding these kinds of utility pieces to plug in and the way that they've generally been able to fit right into this team, it's been incredible. So hats off to them. And you know, guys like Adam Duvall, even, you know, Adam Duvall was a pickup that the Braves made in 2018. You know, had a rough start to his career, but if you look back, he has been on an absolute tear since 2019. Because I think what people forget is in 2019 he spent most of the year in AAA. That was when like he and Austin Riley were both mashing down there. I think Duvall ended up hitting 42 homers that season when you combined his AAA and his major league numbers. Yeah. So I think he's hit like 93 homers or something since 2019 started. And that includes a 60-game season in 2020. So he's the NL leader in RBIs right now, and he is going to be one of the biggest run producers, end up being one of the biggest run producers for the Braves by the time the season's over with. So all this is to say is just Alex Anthopoulos has been incredible in finding these pieces. And this week was just yet another week of that, of evidence of that.
Well, something that it just kind of popped in my brain right as you were starting that. And I had to scroll back just to look, because I was curious. The Braves have not won a game where they scored less than 5 runs in a month.
Wow. Like, that's a great stat right there.
You want to talk about it was the Baltimore series that they won a game 3-1 almost a month ago, 3 weeks ago. But you want to talk about offense being important to this team? That right there will let you know that starting pitching has not been what it was, like you were saying. I mean, to the point of even this last series, like Max Fried, shaky, very shaky. Those are the things that, you know, kind of, you know, we'll have you a little stressed there, a little sweat coming out of the brow, sorts of things when you know these are the guys you have to depend on. You just paid a lot of money to Charlie Morton, who then followed that up with not his greatest start, which is like, Yay! you know, Braves still winning games, and I think that is what I still lean back on. That's the more important thing, mm-hmm. is that, you know, if one side of the ball is not pulling their weight, at least the Braves are still managing to find ways to win these games. However, it is concerning as the fun shift goes from, like, well, you know, I mean, they're just out there having fun, seeing what happens. You know, no Ronald Acuna, no Ozuna, and so it is what it is, to no, we're in serious playoff push time. And so it is nice to see that the offense is finally pulling some weight in a way that I certainly would not have expected. Something, a name that I just mentioned, and more has come of that. I know it's away from the game, but it is something that you and I wanted to talk about, is Marcell Ozuna, and the fact of there was more in his legal case that took place this week. It was just a couple of days after we recorded last week that he's going to be entering into a diversion program, I believe is what it's called, that's essentially going to lead to the dismissal of his case, mm-hmm. His domestic violence case with his wife. You know, we've heard it so many times, everything that went on, the body cam footage that was allegedly available that obviously wasn't what it was, because, you know, things have obviously led down this road. But Joe, the Braves are going to have a decision sooner rather than later on what they're going to do with Marcell Ozuna. And, I mean, what do you think?
Yeah, so right now he's still on administrative leave, and he's still kind of under the Major League Baseball's investigation into everything, so the Braves still can't say anything about what's going on.
Yeah.
You know, Marcell, so the felony charges that he was facing that I'm sure everybody has ingrained in their heads, that the really brutal, you know, aggravated assault strangulation charge, that was dropped in August.
Yeah.
And they were replaced with two misdemeanor charges of family violence, battery, and simple assault. And now both of those will also be dropped as long as he completes this diversion program that he's in. That's 6 months, and he could actually complete it in 3 months if he just, like, chooses to do it ahead of time, which I assume that he will. It's a tough situation to really kind of break down, because it's just it's a troubled family situation that he's been in. You know, his wife was arrested for domestic violence a year prior to this happening.
Yeah.
When the case happened, he said that people would find out what actually happened. And in his affidavit, he said that, you know, she had threatened him and all that. So anyway, it's a much more complicated situation than was first made known to us and the public in general. I think the Braves are in an interesting situation here where, you know, I hate when I talk about this, you sound like, it sounds crass to say, like, well, the charges being dropped means that he can have trade value or could be part of the team again. But I do think that I don't think he'll be part of the team again. I think that the optics of it are still not suitable for the Braves, and I think mm-hmm. that it's just I don't think it's possible for him to reintegrate within the team. But I do think that the charges being dropped makes a trade palatable for somebody else, and you're still not going to get 100% value. You're probably still going to get 20 cents on the dollar, because every team can say, well, look at the, you know, they can point to exactly this situation as, you know, something that they're going to have to deal with, that the Braves are trying to offload. But I do think that these charges being dropped means that he will potentially be tradable. The tough thing with this situation in terms of just the Braves and the transaction is that you know, he's still on a pretty hefty contract. He still has a long ways to go on it, so you're going to need to find a team that can really absorb that. And that's not easier said than done. You know, teams are either rebuilding or trying to, you know, push for the playoffs or make themselves a winner. And so you kind of have to find the right team. I don't know exactly who that team is right now, but it's an interesting situation. And I got to say one more thing about this that was interesting to me, which was that Alex Anthopoulos was asked about the Marcell Ozuna situation at the trade deadline when he did his press conference with local reporters. And it was interesting to me that he was so forthright in saying that, yeah, we will have something to say about this. He basically said, like, I want to talk about it, but I can't. And he was like, trust me, we will definitely have something to say, but we just can't say it yet until all these investigations and protocols are cleared through MLB. So we are still in a bit of a holding pattern, but I do expect to hear more about this relatively soon. I tend to think since there's only 20 games left, I think Major League Baseball will probably say, let's hold off and finish our investigation after this season is over. At least, you know, and the Braves might kind of be in favor of that happening as well, as they're not trying to deal with those kinds of optics, as well as trying to get their fans and everybody geared up for this, you know, exciting playoff race and potentially, you know, playoff series that they'll be hosting. So That's the developments that have happened in the situation. It's still not a good one for the Braves, but at least, you know, it seems like things are heading into a direction where we can kind of start to see a resolution at the end of the tunnel.
Yeah, I mean, to kind of piggyback off what you were saying right there at the end, Major League Baseball definitely wants to push this out into the offseason. They're doing the same thing with Trevor Bauer's case.
Yeah,
because there's just so much more left to find out legally that I think they want to wait till all of the legal aspects of this have been fleshed out before they make a decision, on their part. Also, like we said, 20 games left, or maybe, you know, 19 and three quarters, based on the Padres game that's going to have to get made up this week. But
oh, that's right. Yeah.
Yeah, the game that's like left in what, the fourth inning, I think.
Yeah, they're something gonna like pick that. Back fourth up. Or fifth. Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, so Major League Baseball, I mean they want to be focused on the playoffs, you know, this new exciting time for Major
that's
League
a product
baseball.
For baseball.
Exactly. You know? Yeah. And so yeah, of course they don't want to be dealing with this. The thing that is tough about this is that I feel like every time I go to talk about Marcell Ozuna, because I had a friend ask me about this whole thing when this latest development came out, is I have to talk as this is not my personal, this is not my decision to be made. It is just what I believe is likely to happen. I think it is a despicable act. And however the legal system wants to grade, you know, how horrific it was, I just got to take what their results are and work with it. And if they are able to get these charges dropped, it is what it is that Marcell Ozuna is a good enough player that some team is going to be like, well, our fan base hasn't really been paying attention to this too much, and they'll be just fine with this guy showing up. And you were talking about finding a team who can kind of eat this contract. No, the Braves are going to eat this contract. This is a similar issue to Hector Olivera. Now, Hector Olivera was bad enough, and his production on the field was poor enough that he never really made a comeback back into Major League Baseball. But the Braves were able to trade him away. They traded him to the Padres. You know, they were kind of able to make this thing go away and make it someone else's problem. And I likely expect we will see the same thing. Where, no, there's been too much damage done in the Braves community, in the city of Atlanta. He's never going to wear a Braves uniform again. And if he does, shocked is an understatement.
Can you imagine the Braves not re-signing Freddie Freeman and then trotting Marcell Ozuna back out there to break? Like, that would just, the world would implode.
Joe, do you want my blood pressure to go up? Like, I'm literally scratching my knee right now at the thought. No lie. Because they can't. If they even thought about it, would be poor mistake. That I can't even, I can't put the right words together to describe how angry this fan base would be. So he's done here. But I think he probably, if this ends up going along like it is right now, some other team is going to take him on and is going to get to do so on essentially, like they are going to get to... what's the word I'm looking for?
Like a free roll. I mean, I think the Braves will still be paying a large portion of Marcell Ozuna's contract, regardless of where he ends up going.
Yeah, I'm thinking of like a buyout in the NBA, where like some of these big superstars are going to other teams because their current team is buying them out, and they're able to move on. Like, that's essentially a team would get to get him on a super friendly team deal because of the circumstances that have happened around him. It's unfortunate, but it is something that, I wanted to talk about just for the fact of there is something new and a decision is going to be made. And it likely might not be what, you know, you listening to this, you watching this, want it to be. It is unfortunate.
And I do wonder how it will impact Ozuna's performance wherever he ends up going, because it did. I mean, I remember in 2020 talking to him after games, he would attribute a lot of his good form to I remember him talking about his family, and that was like one of the reasons he got in like much better shape that year in 2020. He said like they gave him a lot of motivation and stuff, and you know, he was not the same player whatsoever here in 2021 that led up to that incident. I mean, he was struggling mightily, and had just broken two of his fingers like right before, obviously, because of that whole cast being involved in the situation. So anyway, I suspect, by the way, I mentioned Alex Anthopoulos saying that he was wanting to talk about it but couldn't. I think he's going to want to talk about it, because I suspect that he's going to want to say that, like, this is not something we tolerate, et cetera, and really put his foot down. But he just can't say that right now yet until the investigation is finished. So there is development, but I imagine you're correct that in 3 months, when he finishes his diversion program ahead of time, we will then soon afterwards hear that the MLB investigation is concluded, and then we'll probably hear something from the Braves and possibly a transaction by the winter meetings or something.
Yeah, and I mean, and one last thing on this. So he will be suspended. Like, that's...
Yes, yeah, I expect him to be suspended for sure.
No doubt. I have no idea how long. There's plenty of other examples of guys being suspended as much as a full season for this sort of thing. So that could really impact all of that even more once this, like we said, once this legally kind of gets dealt with. Getting back to the field, Joe, what are you more concerned with moving forward? And I will say, not so much with this remaining 20 games, but I'm all in on Braves making the playoffs at this point. I don't know if anybody else is, but I am just of the assumption, I think this team is too talented right now to miss the playoffs, whether it's by winning the division, which I think they will do, or making it in a wild card. I think they're going to make the playoffs. At this point of the season, are you more concerned with the bats going cold, or pitching continuing on this current route of poor performance after poor performance? Like, what's more concerning heading into the playoffs?
It's a good question, because I am kind of concerned about both. On the bats front,
we're gonna ride the fence.
I'll come to a firm conclusion here in the second, but I just need to unpack both of the sides of this. On the bats front, you know, you love what you're getting out of the guys that you got at the trade deadline. And that's not, I don't see that going away. I mean, those guys seem like they are legitimately in really good form. Jorge Soler and Adam Duvall specifically. The bats that I'm more worried about are the bats that we've seen all year that have been playing every single game. I mean, when you look at the games played of Atlanta's infielders, you've got all but one game played from Austin Riley, all but one game played from Dansby Swanson. And granted, they're not necessarily starting all these games, but they're starting a whole hell of a lot of them. All but one game played from Freddie Freeman, and all but four games played from Ozzie Albies. And of course, one of the reasons he missed a couple games was because he recently hit the ball right off his damn kneecap, which had me anguishing in pain. Just watching it occur. And so I'm worried about just like the tear. The grind of the season kind of wearing on those guys right as soon as we're at this point where it's kind of the most important point of the season, but this is when that would affect you the most, right at the end. So I'm worried about that, and I think we have started to see some signs from several of those guys that they have started to slow down just a little bit. You know, we saw Dansby Swanson get hot after the All-Star break when they had a break, but then he's kind of, you know, he got a day off here recently, or most of the day off, wasn't in the starting lineup. Same with Riley. And I think that one of the reasons they got those breaks was because Brian Snicker saw the benefit that it seemed to give Ozzie Albies from hitting that ball off his knee, but he got a couple days to sit, and then he comes out and he hits a couple homers in his return. He looks like a refreshed player, and so I think that you know, that could be something that the Braves really look to do, especially once they clinch. I do think that, you know, they've had a couple seasons now where they've clinched a playoff spot ahead of time. In 2019, they sat some guys. They tried to get, you know, Freddie Freeman healthy with his – he was dealing with that elbow. Of course, it was still affecting him once that playoff series started. But they were trying – they tried to rest some guys, and then it looked like they were in a little bit of a funk to start that series against St. Louis. 2020, they went into it a little bit more full throttle, just kind of steamrolling through the season, and they looked better in that playoffs, you got to say, and they almost got to the World Series last year. But I don't think they'll have any choice this year but to let these guys rest, assuming they clinch. And, you know, granted, that's what we all want to see is them hit that clinching mark, and then we'll deal with it afterwards. But so that's where I'm at with the bats. With the arms, I'm also worried because of what we talked about with the starting rotation. We've seen some of these guys fall off a little bit. I thought Touki Toussaint was going to be, like, pretty locked in, not to be like great or anything, but just the way he was talking after his starts really made it sound to me like he had a better grasp of his mechanics and like how he needed to make adjustments in game to kind of keep himself on that kind of level ground where he could continuously throw strikes, but hasn't really been the case. And that is worrying to me. And we've also seen some issues with the bullpen. I mean, I'll say, you know, Will Smith, again, obviously he's his numbers in terms of like the save ratios that he's completing is still very good, but he hardly ever has just like a 1-2-3 ninth inning. Like, it barely ever happens. So that's kind of like irritating. I'll say irritating more so than like an actual concern, because he is still converting the saves. But, you know, the other one's Rich Rodriguez, the guy who came in and was kind of lights out for the Braves after they acquired him at the deadline. He's a veteran guy, and you had confidence in him for that. But, you know, what really kind of made my ears perk up was hearing Brian Snicker talk about him, like, pretty directly saying, like, he needs to throw some other pitches. Like, he needs to get them off his fastball, because that's basically all he's throwing. It wasn't just like there are times where Snit will maybe be openly say, like, yeah, he was poor, but like he'll back it up by saying, like, he's not that worried about it or whatnot, you know, and kind of back his guy. But in this case, it was like, yeah, he needs to do something to change the way this is going, because it has not been good at all for him. And honestly, you know, a lot of people were saying that his peripheral numbers, his, you know, his advanced numbers or advanced analytics, whatever you want to say, was kind of pointing to this reversion. His FIP was not good before all this started, and lo and behold, here he goes. And I did notice, like, there would be lots of balls hit, like, to the warning track or deep outfield, but they would just be getting caught and stuff, and now it seems like they're definitely flying out of the ballpark. He's giving up the home run. So, all that said, back to your question, which one am I most concerned with? I think I'm most concerned with the pitching, just because I feel like the bats, you have enough in terms of depth, and that's what Alex Anthopoulos wanted to do at the trade deadline, was go out there and get a bunch of depth, and I just feel like there's enough options for the Braves to turn to there where they can mitigate any kind of struggles that they have. What about you?
Yeah, I agree, and I think I poised this question just because as positive as you just were about previous seasons, or at least last year, for the Braves offense, I mean, that's, in my opinion, that's ultimately what killed their World Series chances, was the offense getting cold. You know, whether it was Duvall getting hurt, but he was cold before that.
You're actually right. And that Cincinnati series that they played to open the playoffs, they remember they had that crazy game where there was 0-0, like, into extra innings and stuff?
Yeah.
You're right.
But so it's one of those, I think you're playing at this point, you're playing with house money when it comes to the offense, because you're right. No Ozuna, no Acuna, you know, you don't have the necessary on paper offensive firepower that you have in the past, but you've been figuring it out ever since the trade deadline. And so that is it is what it is. I think it's one of those, it's a situation where if the Braves don't advance in the playoffs, or if they have an early exit, whatever it may be, and it is because the bats went cold, I will live with that. What I'm struggling with right now is seeing what is happening with the starting rotation, where how are we 3 weeks removed from on this very podcast saying that there's a six-man rotation and just being so confident in that because it was true at the time. And to go from that to, you know, we got three guys that you can, which is enough for the playoffs, I guess. Three guys that I think I can count on enough hope. Hope it doesn't get any worse than what it's looking at, looking like right now. And like you said, like the bullpen is, I'm not worried about Will Smith. I will, you know, people can poo-poo on him all they want. He's still getting saves, so that's not the issue. You bring up, you know, Rich Rodriguez. Like, that's definitely, you know, a sore spot because he was a guy that plenty of Braves fans were leaning on to be the closer. And maybe, I don't know, maybe that is some foresight from Brian Snicker of like, hey, you know, trust my decisions. Because I will say, and I know I'm kind of bobbing and weaving through this thoughts in my head, but a guy who Brian Snicker decided to bring back up, who I would have not touched with a 10-foot pole, was Jacob Webb.
Jacob Webb, yeah.
You know, Jacob Webb had been so unreliable previously, but his last five appearances, he's given up a hit. I mean, that's impressive stuff. I know his last two appearances are the ones that are will catch your eye more because he kind of came in at important times and he got the win in both of those appearances. Against the Nationals before that and the Marlins this last series. But that it's just such a. It makes me think of, if it ain't one thing, it's another. And that's kind of how I feel with this Braves team of, like, if this team makes another run and they finally piecemealed together enough depth and power to win games and win series and make a playoff run, and now you're going to tell me that pitching is an issue, I'm definitely more concerned about the pitching. And frustrated would be an understatement if this becomes a thing, because like Touki Toussaint starting tonight, I don't know why that is happening. Because he's gone last two appearances, three innings in both of them, and shaky is being kind to what he looked like. And so I think, like, you and I talked about this before we got on here to record, of I'm honestly surprised I did not see a name from Gwinnett pop up that was pitching tonight. I think it is a pivotal game, that another poor performance. And do we see him again? I mean, we are kind of at that point. A dire need, I guess you would say, about this. That it's just frustrating. Because, like, man, I thought this was figured out. and now, of course, this has to be the crutch of how the Braves are playing right now.
I thought for sure we were going to see Kyle Wright make this start tonight, to be perfectly honest. I mean, he's actually had a really good season in AAA. I mean, trust me, I'm the first one that say you got to be wary of good numbers in AAA for Kyle Wright, because every time he comes up to the majors, it's a different story. But I mean, he has a 3.47 ERA down there. He's got 112 strikeouts, which ranks fourth in the AAA East division. You know, pitched 109 innings with that 112 strikeouts, so it's a pretty good rate, a 1.29 whip. So it's not like he's been pretty good. And I just thought, just hearing the way that Snicker was talking about Touki's last start and just that kind of frustrated tone that he had in his voice, I thought for sure we were going to see somebody else. But maybe, you know, maybe it's just I don't know what it is. But I got another question to ask you about when you're talking about the starting pitcher. You said you had confidence in three guys, or maybe three. Who's the third? Because it's Fried and Morton, obviously, are the 1-2. Do you have more confidence right now in Ian Anderson or Waskar Yanoa?
Ian Anderson.
Yeah. I would say the same thing, but I think it's close, though, in my opinion. I think that those two guys really are kind of almost battling for who would be that third starter in the playoffs.
I would agree. There is just something. It's so hard to describe. I think with Waskar Yanoa's injury being more significant, and the build back to full strength is just something that I don't think he is ever going to be 100% this season. I know Ian Anderson has dealt with some injuries himself, not denying that. However, there is just a There is a confidence that Ian Anderson brings, and a, I think, a dependability. Like, even when he's having a poor performance, I think he has more control over his pitches than what I have seen out of Waskari Noah. And that's just the Waskari Noah that we've seen since he's come back.
Right.
I think, you know, we're having a completely different discussion if he never punches a wall and breaks his hand.
Mm-hmm.
But it is just the reality that we're at with him that, yeah, right now, it, to me, you say it's close, and I would agree in some extent, but in my own mind, if I have to give, you know, a 1 through 3, yeah, Ian Anderson's getting that third, and I'm not really looking back. Or if I'm Brian Snicker, I'm not questioning my decisions if that's how I went with it.
Yeah, no, it's interesting. It's interesting. They're just two very different pitchers. Like,
yeah.
if I had to gamble on one or the other going out and having like 10 strikeouts and 6 innings and throwing like 6 shutout innings, I might go Waskari Noah. I think Waskari Noah has like a greater potential to in any given game to go out there and be absolutely dominant. But I'm with you. I feel like Ian Anderson's kind of more of a, you just feel safer. He's just feels like a more of a warm blanket, I guess, than Waskari Noah is. And I've, you know, I've been a little bit worried about the fact that, you know, Ian Anderson is well past his career high in innings pitched at the major league level, especially obviously having, you know, come through in the middle of the season in a shortened season last year. But, you know, it's not like Waskari Noah has pitched a ton of innings in his career either in any given season. So I think both of those guys are kind of at a stage in this at the point in the season right now where they are kind of on a bit of a new territory for both of them. They're going to have to figure out how to kind of keep their velocity and just keep their stuff as good as it can be this deep into it.
You know what I'm hearing a lot of? A lot of problems that could be solved with a shorter season. Whoop, just let me just throw that hammer in there while we're talking. But honestly, like, it is one of those that you start getting to this point at the end of the season. And I think it is what makes some of these teams who have the bigger payrolls, who are able to go out and have such crazy depth that they reach the end of the season and they have guys who are able to take, you know, every third week and kind of take a backseat to the team and they can still go on runs and win. That it is what makes it so tough for those either low payroll or mid-level payroll, which I would consider the Braves to be, to make it this far in the postseason without just some crazy Washington Nationals-like run.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just to have a consistent push, strong push, it's what makes it so tough. And, you know, hey, maybe if we weren't playing 162, you know, things would be different, but it's the hand that the Braves have been dealt.
So before we get out of here, sure. I do just want to kind of look ahead a little bit, you know, at least over the next week or so I just want to ask you, like, what do you expect from this team through 3 games against Colorado, 3 games against San Francisco, and then let's just talk, then there's 4 games against Arizona after that. The ones against San Francisco and Arizona are obviously on the road. How many of those games do you need to win, or do you expect this team to win out of those series?
Okay, out of just Colorado, San Francisco, and Arizona, or do you want to extend it?
Okay, we can extend it through the whole West Coast road trip and include San Diego as well, and then we'll kind of recap next week to see where we're at with our predictions.
So before they hit San Diego, I think 3 to 4 losses is what I would put on this team.
Mm.
I say that because we've talked, you know, the last 2 weeks, we've talked ad nauseum almost about how good at home Colorado is, how bad away Colorado is. So that is a series that if you could take advantage now and sweep a team like the Rockies, things are looking very good. You're hitting San Francisco at home. I mean, to say San Francisco's good right now, you know, yeah. You know, it's a pretty obvious. Yeah. it's a pretty obvious.
They just clinched. They became the first team to punch their ticket to the playoffs.
It is September 14th.
I know.
Like,
crazy.
So they're a series that I would not panic, but if the Braves got swept, I would. The only reason why I don't think they would get swept in that series is because I think at least how it's lined up right now, Charlie Morton would start that first game and Max Fried the second. And so because you're getting you're getting the top of the rotation.
Get one of those. Win one of those two games and I think you're fine.
Yeah. But then to hit Arizona, they're not a very good team. However, they've been the trip up of the Phillies.
They've been killing the Phillies this year. Yeah. It's crazy.
So, you know, so it's one of those, like, you can't just look down the road at other opponents. And then the series that does honestly scare me is on the road at the Padres, because the Padres are fighting for their playoff lives. You know, and things have not gone well for them as of late. And I don't see them just laying down without a fight. Like, they are too talented of a team. So that series scares me to death. And I wouldn't even right now begin to predict. I would need to see how the Braves have played over these three series. But out of the Colorado, San Francisco, Arizona, honestly, I three losses. And I think the Braves will be just fine. You start stepping into... you let Colorado catch you, you know, kind of stumbling here. And then the concern meter for me starts to raise.
Right.
What about you? What about
you? No, I think you're totally right about this Colorado series. The importance of it, just to kind of get yourself, put yourself on the right foot going into this West Coast road trip. I think that's really important. And so, you know, if you can, you got to win two out of three, right? Like, that's, you could sweep the series. You're definitely good enough to do that. But I think just generally, especially the way we've been talking about this team starting pitching, I think if you just win two of the three, you're in pretty good position. You're feeling pretty good about that. And then if you can just win, again, you mentioned it, but just one of those two games against San Francisco where you have your two best pitchers going, win one of those, preferably the first one, and that way the rest of it's kind of icing on the cake.
And there is something built into the schedule that will be helpful for the Braves as far as getting rest. That Thursday game this week is an early game. It's a 12:20 start.
Yep, yep.
And that is before they have to get on the road and head to San Francisco and not play until almost 10 o'clock Eastern time. So that at least is, it's not a full day. It's not a full day of rest. You know, there's still games being played on those 2 days, but they're at least spread out far enough that it is not the typical... head out to the West Coast after just playing a late game, get in at 3 o'clock in the morning, and, you know, and then you're on to play a 7 o'clock game. Like, there is going to be some time in between that will benefit the Braves in a major way, I think.
Yeah, no, that's a good point. I'm glad you pointed that out, because that's totally right. And then I think, like, I don't know, I think that if you win two out of four, you're decently, you're not happy with it, but that's kind of suitable against Arizona. Three out of four is probably what you're shooting for in that series. I think all of this, if you can just do these things, you're putting yourself in pretty good position because you have a little bit of a cushion. You know, what's the division lead right now? Four and a half?
Four and a half games.
The Phillies? So you've got a bit of a cushion. But obviously, it would be really nice to go into that Phillies series, because after the San Diego, then you play the Phillies.
Yeah.
And so it would be nice to go into that Phillies series where you wouldn't have the division be able to potentially swing no matter what happens there. So have more than a three-game lead going into that series would be nice. But man, it's almost here. We only have a few more rotation turns left. Only, you know, you can count the series on your hands. So, man, we're getting right down to it.
Yeah. Anything else before we get out of here?
No, I think we're good.
All right. Well, thanks, everybody, for tuning in today to Batter Up. For my co-host, Joe Patrick, I'm Caleb Johnson. Have a great week.